We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Odyssey NFL insider Michael Lombardi. So we take that horrible, wretched Rams result and we put that in the rearview mirror, right? Is that basically what you do?
Well, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, I think the biggest concern that I had going into the Bears season, everybody focused on quarterbacks. I kept saying, are they any good on defense? I mean, they might be the most overrated defense in the league. Everybody thinks they're good on defense, but are they? I think that's the fundamental question Bears fans have to ask. I mean, before you unravel the quarterback mystery, are they good enough to win defensively?
Michael, last week you called it negligent if the Bears didn't go to Justin Fields or try hit to use him in some situations. They did that, even though he didn't take consecutive snaps, how illogical that was. But what is the next logical step in terms of his usage?
I think they got to let him grow. I mean, look, it's an offense screaming for big plays. It's an offense screaming for somebody who could move around the pocket. I mean, the reason they had 71% completions is because there was a lot of easy throws for Andy Dalton to make. It was against his own coverage, and it was pitch and catch. It was basically 7-on-7. What they have to do is find a way to make some big plays, explosive plays. And you could do that with Justin Fields' speed. You got too many football, non-football people trying to make decisions in Hallis Hall. This is what you're going to end up getting. You're going to end up getting non-football, but everybody's happy. You know, Bill Walsh used to say this all the time. When the assistant coaches are happy, we got a bad team.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. A lot of action yesterday, David, at Hallis Hall. A lot of cuts we've got to play you. And obviously, baseball, not so much. Not so good.
Morning, Molly.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy? Happy Thursday. It was
a
bad night for Chicago baseball. The White Sox lose a close one. The Cubs find another way to lose. That was not a welcome sight in Philadelphia. Sox pitch pretty good game and then just give up home run Michael Kopech. That was tough. I mean, that was a triple-digit fastball out of the park. So it was, you know, a tough night for baseball fans in Chicago, and also a very interesting day, as you point out, at Hallis Hall, because there's a lot to get through.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know, I think the biggest thing that happened at Hallis Hall, or the thing that everyone seems to be gravitating to, is Bill Lazor, the nominal offensive coordinator. I believe he's not the play caller, but he is. He was at the end of last year, but he wasn't. He didn't shy away from the fact that Justin Fields is ready to go and has been ready to go since the end of the preseason. And I think that is that leaves the kind of great mystery as to why he's not going. And he mentioned that there is a plan and that Coach Nagy, Matt Nagy, has talked about it. And it isn't his place to kind of answer questions as to why. But when you throw that hand grenade in the room, I think someone needs to answer why.
Well, I think we just heard Mike Lombardi coming in, and he talked about how if you have assistant coaches who are unhappy, you might have a good football team. Well, the Bears may be on the way to having a good football team because their offensive coordinator didn't sound happy.
No, he did not sound happy. It was really interesting. And their defensive coordinator spoke. We heard from Sean Desai, and he clearly isn't happy. But he's also, I thought he said a couple things that were important. The idea that things do snowball in the NFL, and you can't let that happen. And you can't spend too much time on mistakes, or you sort of emphasize that. So it was, and he also said that he needed feedback to know if he was teaching the technique correctly. Touch the guy when he's down, I guess, would be the technique. It was an interesting day all the way around. A lot of different people talking, a lot of different information to disseminate from Hallis Hall.
Well, I think in regard to Desai, we're going to see week to week how he grows on the job, and we don't really know him that well. We haven't heard from him that often, so I think there's going to be an education process for everybody. And so that is the play that everybody's going to fixate on for good reason, the play that they, you know, most egregious mistake. And he wants to move on, and we're going to always remember that. So it's going to be kind of a balancing act until there's something new to point to. In regard to Lazor, I do think this. You know, he's a very veteran NFL coach. He's been on a lot of staffs. And Mully, so he is going to try to be as candid and honest as possible. That's his rep. But it's clear that he was holding back. And it's also clear this. These are questions that are best answered, some of them, that Bill Lazor was asked, by the head coach. And not to get too far into the weeds and inside baseball, but there's a different dynamic at Hallis Hall this year. And I think yesterday is the first time we've kind of seen the residual effect of it. Matt Nagy is speaking one fewer day per week. He will speak on Monday after games, and then from what I understand, he will not speak again until Thursday because I don't believe he has to. So because of a change in the NFL rules or availability for head coaches, on Wednesday we'll hear from the coordinators. We won't hear from Matt Nagy. Bill Lazor was answering questions that Matt Nagy should have been asked and typically would be asked, and we would have his words to dissect and parse, not the offensive coordinators, who was not wanting to be the guy that makes a declarative statement about the state of the quarterback situation.
Yeah, that's very awkward. I mean, it's just awkward not getting the head coach on Wednesdays. Wednesday is obviously the biggest day for kind of getting the game plan in. And, you know, the NFL has a certain rhythm to its week, and it's a rhythm that was created by a public relations executive, also known as the NFL commissioner. That was Pete Rozelle, and his background was in PR. So the idea is you have the big game on Sunday, you get Monday post-mortem, you've got an off day on Tuesday, you get Wednesday where you start building up the excitement for the next game, followed by Thursday, more of the same, a quick hit on Friday, you deal with your network stuff Saturday when you're at the hotel, and boom, comes the game on Sunday, and you're back into the rhythm of the week. So this this idea of not hearing from the coach does interrupt the rhythm, or whatever you want to call it, that's the sort of buildup that gets you to the next game. And so I think it creates more post-mortem distress instead of getting into the meat of the next week.
I totally agree with you, and I'm curious if you agree or disagree with that premise, that this is why part of the reason is we're having this to discuss today is because we didn't hear from Matt Nagy, and we're left to parse Bill Lazor's awkwardly phrased answers to the question that everybody wants an answer to. And you're right, the NFL it's a brilliant strategy and structure because of the way it allows us to look back for 48 hours and then look ahead. And there's always a voice that is the strongest one, the head coach or the players that have, you know, if they're locker room access the way it used to be. And you're able to control the message to some degree. Well, the Bears do a lousy job of controlling the message. There's no other way to look at it on a morning like this one.
Yeah, and I think that it would be less awkward if Bill Lazor were the play caller, but he isn't. So he can give his opinion on different players and how ready they are or how things should go. But the reality is that he can't tell you what will happen moving forward because of how heavily the offense is influenced by the head coach slash play caller.
Well, you have a day essentially where your coordinators are available, but the coordinator who is really the guy you want to hear from, the guy who calls the plays, isn't. And that is unfortunate, and it does create some awkwardness. And maybe the Bears will reevaluate based on the reaction to yesterday, because we're talking about Bill Lazor's inability to address specifically or to talk about the Justin Fields situation, which we'll get to at the 5 at 5. But there were also a couple other questions that were pointed that he was holding back that were like, okay, why did Andy Dalton not make this read? And you know what? Cole Kmet was open and he didn't want to address it. Head coaches can do that. Coordinators speaking in front or before the head coach on an issue, they don't want to do that because football is such a protocol driven. You'd be breaching protocol if you spoke out of turn. And no assistant coach wants to be that guy, right? So yeah. What you have is Bill Lazor leaving the podium, and he's as unhappy as maybe Mike Lombardi would want him to be on a staff. You know, all assistant coaches should be unhappy, right?
Yeah, I like that idea. And, you know, again, more players talking, you're hearing from other people. It's just strange the way this season is going, because we're used to football seasons, even – last year with the Zoom year, we're used to football seasons where you can have individual conversations or you know, even group setting situations with individual players. And now it seems like everything is podium driven, and it's just totally different, and the dynamic is completely different.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about, and certainly this is not intended to isolate or pick on any one guy. But you're exactly right. When you have such limited access and you have a message that spreads so far and wide, you need to control that message with a strong voice. And it has to come from the strongest person in your organization. Typically, ideally, that is either your quarterback or your head coach. Now, the Bears don't have that guy at quarterback yet.
No.
Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, could speak confidently and nobody would listen because they just don't want to hear him talk. It's got to be Matt Nagy. And what we have seen this week and on consecutive days now is the loudest voice or the one that's carrying the most is not Matt Nagy's. It's people talking about what Matt Nagy either should have done or will do, and it's not the head coach. So they're doing a lousy job of controlling the message.
Yeah, there's no shadow of a doubt on that one. And, you know, it was interesting to hear from Andy Dalton, in part because – of what he said. He talked about playing the Bengals. He talked about going to Cincinnati with the Dallas Cowboys and beating the Bengals. And he talked about how weird it was to be in the opponent's dressing room. And he talked about the great response he got and how everybody kind of gave him a real nice, and he remembered that great response. Well, now here he is, and he's playing the Bengals. And he's at home, and he's probably not going to get the great response. There's no other way around it. You would think that Andy's in for a rude awakening.
If people are spontaneously bursting into chants of Justin Fields at baseball games in Chicago, what do you think it's going to be like Sunday when he's in uniform and Andy Dalton takes the first snap?
Come on. It's going to be tough.
I feel a degree of sympathy or empathy for Andy Dalton, because you know what? Look, football aside, this is a guy who's been a consummate professional, and he has been an NFL starting quarterback, and he has handled this awkwardness pretty professionally, I think. He hasn't said anything that you could see is spoken out of turn or unusual or awkward, but nobody's listening. And no matter how well he has handled it publicly, it's almost as if, okay, you know, can you hear the clock ticking, because your time is almost up?
Yeah, there is definitely a sense of that. On the injury side of things, Eddie Goldman limited in practice. That's a upgrade from how he was last week. Jason Peters with the quad, limited in practice. And again, nobody gets to watch practice, so we don't know what limited means, but it means, you know, saying limited would mean that you're more likely to play than if you were out. And Robert Quinn, with his back, was limited as well. Larry Borum did not practice with his ankle, and we don't know if it's a high ankle sprain. We didn't get an injury report that intense. And Jimmy Graham was given the dreaded veteran day off, so they're treating him with kid gloves. I got to go over it, but I didn't see much of Jimmy Graham in the opener. And, you know, everybody's talking about Jimmy Graham's salary because of the Bears' salary cap issues and the fact that they chose to bring back one of three veteran players, and it was Jimmy Graham. But I'm going to say 16 plays out of 59 snaps, something like that, David. That is not high usage in the actual game itself, which you can't help but notice given his status on this team.
It's interesting because I thought the same thing when you saw the playing time distribution and why Jimmy Graham wasn't in the game more. And he is a weapon, a red zone specialist. That's presumably why he is still here, Molly. But here's the dilemma. And I guess it's not a dilemma as much as it is sort of the situation the Bears have to figure out. The red zone now is not about Jimmy Graham's isolation. Now, he's going to be a weapon, right? But the red zone has suddenly become about Justin Fields. And now you have a way, how are you going to incorporate Jimmy Graham, your red zone specialist, which is why he's still here making what he's making, and the all-around threat, the weapon that is Justin Fields, because if this is his role, limited role right now, he becomes the emphasis. He becomes the focus. And suddenly you're not as worried about Jimmy Graham being in the game once you get in the red zone, assuming you get inside the red zone. It's about Justin Fields, right? So he becomes the focus of everything, and that's maybe they tend to overlook who's in the game and who isn't, as long as number one is.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't help but pick that stuff apart, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's fun and important to do.
It is, but you know what I'm saying? It's like last year, it was easier when you have limitations at the quarterback position, all of a sudden you're focused on, okay, who's in the game now? They're on, it's third and four from the seven. All right, where's Jimmy Graham and how is he going to get open? Now it's like, well, it's third and four from the seven. All right, Justin Fields in there because I want to run pass option.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Justin Fields, that would be a perfect way to use him. It would also be a perfect way to use him to let him have multiple plays one after the other. It would also be a perfect way to lose him to use him, to give him a half before you give him the whole game. You know, we know that that the report was from Jake Glazer, who's pretty locked in, that the Bears were hoping to have four games of Andy Dalton with mixed usage of Justin Fields. So we're entering week two. I don't know, depending on the result, if they can wait that long. They need playmakers. The offense needs playmakers. The offense needs to be able to get the ball down the field. They were the only team in the NFL that failed to throw a 15-yard pass. Remind me again, David, they did go for it on 4th and 15, right?
Yeah.
They haven't thrown a 15-yard pass even on that play. It just kind of boggles the mind. And I get it. That was the number one defense from a year ago. They got huge issues at left tackle. I mean, it all falls in together. And I got to be honest with you. If your left tackle issues are that acute, can you afford to have Jimmy Graham blocking? He's not a blocker. He's a jump ball specialist. So
Nope. All
this kind of melds together as you watch a team struggling as they did on offense, even if the coach didn't seem to feel like they struggled much on offense.
And that's why Sunday, frankly, for game two, week two in this NFL season, coming off the loss the Bears did is huge in the context of their season, where they're going, and also in how you use Justin Fields and what's ahead at the quarterback position for the Bears. Sunday is a major – it's a significant game for the Bears.
And we've got to get to the significant 5-5. We're going to do that next. We're going to talk about these things. We'll get into our baseball teams, and we'll do it all here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Did offensive coordinator Bill Lazor throw a hand grenade onto Matt Nagy's QB plan by saying,
I would have said after the preseason that he's moving quickly and ready for whatever's thrown at him. So I don't think anything's changed.
If he's ready for it, then why isn't he getting those additional chances?
I think Matt's probably addressed what his philosophy is on the quarterback position. I don't think that's for me to answer that.
How much worse is Lazor's second guessing than anything Marquise Goodwin said?
Well, I don't know if it's second guessing. It might be first guessing. I mean, he's saying that Justin Fields is ready to go and that Justin Fields had picked up everything he needed to in the preseason, and he felt that he was ready to operate easily as the quarterback, as the starting quarterback. And I think that is a bit of a problem for Matt Nagy when the offensive coordinator believes that he didn't say that he should be playing over Andy Dalton, but I think everybody understands that he should be playing over Andy Dalton. That's why they traded up and drafted him, and I think everybody understands it's only a question of time. And there is a philosophy somewhere that Matt Nagy is following along with, so he's resisting the urge to get Fields on the field. I think it's really interesting. Marquise Goodwin talked about getting the ball down the field. So it's almost the same thing. If you want to get the ball down the field, you're more likely to do so with Justin Fields, right? So I don't know that there's a lot of contradiction going on here. I think that everybody is sort of saying the same thing, which is that the rookie quarterback is ready to play and you can do more with him. And I think the coach is resistant of starting him ahead of Andy Dalton. And I don't understand why, to be honest with you, when you hear about, number one, yesterday, what the issues of the offense are, 2 days ago when you heard from Goodwin. And then yesterday, well, maybe this guy can solve them.
Why are we hearing again from somebody whose voice doesn't sound like Matt Nagy's? This was very consistent with what Marquise Goodwin was saying, in that it was questioning an element of an offense we don't understand, whether it's scheme or personnel. We don't understand. Matt Nagy is the guy who tells us and always talks about getting to the why. Getting to the why. We want to get to the why. Why are you starting Andy Dalton? Tell us, coach, in your words, with your voice. Tell us, Chicago Bears, Hallis Hall. Put your head coach out there. Stop letting other people speak for him. This is the problem when you adhere to this new NFL schedule that allows you to take one day off away from the podium and not speak to the collective media, not speak to your fan base, if you will. You need to speak to your fan base. If you're the Chicago Bear head coach in the midst of this crisis, and this is a crisis, because you got the door's blown off your defense on Sunday night. Your offense has all sorts of questions, and you are the head coach. And you can't just expect a Monday morning quarterback look back at what happened the night before and then take 48 hours off out of public view and let others speak for you. You're going to get all sorts of vagueness and ambiguity. You deserve it. Control the message better. We need to hear from the head coach, and that's why we're hearing what we're hearing. And yeah, Bill Lazor, God bless him, he wasn't trying to create a controversy. He was just trying not to make a bad situation worse, when in fact, that's just exactly what he did.
Well, I love the analogy of the grenade being dropped in the room and everybody, bomb, and everybody just kind of ducking their head. And we've had fun with it. Michael Lombardi brought it up yesterday again, but the idea of collaboration, right? If they were collaborating, why wouldn't Lazor have gone along with the program? I get a player kind of saying his own thing. I don't know the next time we'll get to talk to or hear from Goodwin. I don't think that's going to be anytime soon unless he does something spectacular to help them win a game. But you would have thought that we would have heard a lot more of the word we as a group, collectively, we decided, we collaborate, and we didn't. He threw it all back. Well, that's Matt's philosophy. To me, like, that's Matt's philosophy. That's what stuck out to me
right. In
that comment. It was almost like, so now, and I'm sure it's a good group of reporters up there, I almost think they need to, like, how we play the audio in the 5 at 5 is an example. Like, I would love the local media to say, Matt, hold on. We'd like to play you a clip from what Bill Lazor said to us yesterday when we asked this, and we'd like you to respond to it. Now, I know that's not going to happen, but wouldn't that be funny to, like, see the look on Matt's face when he heard that? And then... Did Lazor get a talking to yesterday? But, David, you and I joked around about it yesterday, right? 11:45 on Wednesday, we were going to hear from the coordinators. I mean, he's the coordinator. He's the one calling the plays. It's a collaboration, and they don't seem to be on the same page right now.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here is what's happening. It was Michael Kopech allowing an eighth inning solo home run to the Angels, and the White Sox lost that game last night 3-2, meaning their magic number did stall out at 7. Moncada did hit a solo home run in that one. The two teams get together again this afternoon over at 35th and Shields. Ronaldo Lopez will be throwing. The Cubs hit 3 home runs, one tied it in the 8th, one tied it in the 9th, but a pass ball in the bottom of the 9th sent the Cubs back to their hotel rooms losers 6-5 to those Phillies. Frank Schwindel also added a 2-run home run earlier in the game. Kyle Hendricks throws tonight. You can hear that game right here on The Score. The Cubs right now 66-80, 16 games left to play. The Bears are ramping things up at Halas Hall. Decent news on the injury front. Eddie Goldman was back in a limited fashion at practice. So was Jason Peters and Robert Quinn. Larry Borum was out. Jimmy Graham given that Veterans Day off. Football returns to Wrigley Field this fall. The Cats, they'll host Purdue. Buy the tickets and usports.com.
Well, that's a good question.
Offensive tackle Jason Peters and defensive tackle Eddie Goldman both were limited in practice Wednesday. Which is more likely to play, in your opinion? And more interestingly, which player do the Bears need more to beat the Bengals?
That was a pleasant surprise. I did not expect to see either guy back on the practice field. It's a good sign, as we know, Mully, when you practice on a Wednesday, especially two guys who are veterans. We know Jason Peters had the quad, which I felt like was going to keep him off the field, and especially at his age, 39 years old. But there's a balancing act because he probably needs to get back out there to try to get some conditioning in, but he's also got to preserve and worry about that nagging injury so it doesn't make a bad situation worse. Eddie Goldman hasn't played in a very long time after opting out of last season. Back on the practice field, that was a pleasant sight. I think they need Jason Peters more than they need Eddie Goldman. I think that only because of the positional crisis at left tackle, that is the case. I'm not saying that he could have a bigger impact potentially on Sunday's game because Eddie Goldman in the middle of that Bears defense stopping Joe Mixon and that Bengals running game, which is very good. I think Mixon leads the NFL in rushing after 1 week. So you're going to need somebody like that, like it give you what Eddie Goldman offers. But let's face it, you're down to, as we keep pointing out, their fourth option at left tackle, Elijah Wilkinson. So I think Jason Peters means more this week. And it's possible, based on yesterday, it's possible based on the injury report, we're going to see both of them, which would be great for the Bears.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Big Z a little bit later in the program, and we can ask him who again is the fifth or the sixth left tackle? Look, I look at Jason Peters returning to practice, and to me, that says there's the old war horse. There is a guy that knows what an NFL season's like. There's a guy that knows the difference between a serious injury and being hurt. And there's a guy that wants to give it a go. Now, he will be compromised if he does indeed play, because I think the quad injury is real. That means he's going to need help. He's going to need tight end help. He's going to need chipping. They're going to have to max protect in different situations. But I agree with you. He's the more important player. Here's what I don't know. As I said, veteran guy, understands how needed he is, and he's going to give it a go. I don't know, and maybe he got off the fishing boat. Maybe he was half retired, said he was working out. But Eddie Goldman, I don't know. I don't know how much he wants to push it. I don't know how much it means to him to play the game and if he wants to go whole hog. And I think until I have definition of whether or not he is absolutely locked in and ready to go, and I'm talking mentally, I don't know that I want to see him. I don't know that a guy half in and half out is what you need in the front of your defense. So I think they're two different things. I think you're talking about a guy that knows how to play hurt, and then you're talking about another guy that might not really want to play. And I hate to put it that in those terms because that's unfair, but I that's just my opinion of it from the outside.
I don't think there's anything unfair about what you just said there. We don't know if he wants to play. What does he want to do? And if he doesn't want to play, what is it that's questioning that? But to answer the first part of the question, I think it's Peters and Peters. I think Peters is more likely to play. He wouldn't have stopped fishing and gotten off the lawn chair by the creek had he not wanted to play. And I do think because of the number of guys they've had to put over at left tackle that he is more important. And listen, if you were upset, and you had every right to be, that the Bears did not push the ball downfield at all, okay, and we got to get into Andy Dalton saying that he thought the offense played well. I mean, if you isolate that cut, just the first 3 seconds of the offense played well. I thought the offense moved the ball. Excuse me? That you didn't play well. Oh, well, had we just done this? Had we just done that? Jason Peters, they need him. They need him desperately. You don't have Justin Peters. I don't know how you're going to – I mean, it's going to be one – forget about a three-strip drop. It's going to be 1-2-throw, 1-2-throw, 1-2-throw. They might not – it's going to go from 12 yards down the field to, like, they'll be lucky if they're running 8-yard patterns on Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field.
Those are super difficult questions that don't have right answers.
Do you agree with Michael Lombardi, who told us yesterday that the Bears have the most overrated defense in the NFL?
Wow. That was something else, wasn't it? Do I agree with that? I think it's frustrating when you think about where this defense is at. I know they have the oldest defense in the NFL, and I think that's part of what we're looking at here. They don't have the healthiest defense in the NFL. They got a lot of money wrapped up in the defensive front, and they don't have a lot of play wrapped up with that money. So it is very possible, if money and payment creates expectations, that they are well below expectations at this point. Most overrated defense in the NFL. Okay, I'll go along with that. I'm not gonna sit here and argue it. They got some problems on defense.
Okay, I'm gonna go the other way. I understand the label, and it's one you don't want to have tagged on you after 1 week. But the Bears aren't a playoff team to me. They were last year. I know I called them that in the preseason, but I know what I saw on Sunday night. And until further notice, they're not a playoff team right now. So I don't know how many people rate them that highly, given what we have seen over time. I do think the Colts are a playoff team, potentially. I do think the Packers are a playoff team. The Colts, they have maybe the most overrated defense. The final seven games of last year, you look at the numbers, they have the opposing quarterbacks had an average 102.5 passer rating. 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and Russell Wilson torched them in week 1. His passer rating was 152. The Packers against the Saints gave up not one, but back-to-back 15-play drives to the Saints. 171 rushing yards. They were gashed. So I think that because the Packers and the Colts have defenses that you thought would be pretty good and better for playoff teams, teams headed somewhere, I think they probably just get a slightly more higher rating than the Bears, and they were just as bad as the Bears. So I'll go maybe the Bears aren't the most overrated in defense in the league, maybe among the top three.
I think nationally it does make sense because the national narrative for the Bears always is, boy, if the offense could just score like 23 points, this Bears defense could get them to the postseason. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think 23, 24, even 27 is enough. This defense is not good enough, especially after 1 week. Like going into the season, you kind of maybe. I mean, they've got issues on the back end. They got issues with the guys running around, trying to run around the tackles to get pressure on the quarterbacks. I think they've been exposed. They were definitely exposed on Sunday night on national television. This is not a defense that can hold up their end of the bargain. It wasn't three and out, Andy Dalton turning the ball over, all that kind of stuff. The defense is exhausted. They're on the field too much. They take too many snaps. The Bears did win the time of possession battle. That was about the only thing that they won on Sunday night. So that thing is not accurate. So, yes, I do think that Michael Lombardi's correct when he says that the Bears' defense is the most overrated in the NFL right now.
But let me ask you this, Dustin.
I'm trying very hard.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that they have players who cannot correct the mistakes that they made? And do you think that we are inaccurately labeling them capable of being all-pro caliber, Pro Bowl caliber players? Or because that would be overrated. Do you just think they had a bad night?
I don't know that the back four can correct the problems, and specifically the middle two of the back four. I don't know. I mean, Gibson said all the right things. I appreciated the fact that he came out, said all the right things. This is a big, it's a big game for Andy Dalton. I got to tell you what, it's a big game for Eddie Jackson. I think all eyes are going to be on him. Every time the ball is put up in the air, you're going to be looking to see where is Eddie Jackson and what is he doing.
Let me ask you this. I hate to keep harping on the subject, but I think it's fascinating. The Bears actually played to help the defense once. They punted on a fourth down. I think it was the third one where they were thinking of going for it. And the Bears actually backed up the Rams. There was a punt by the Rams, and the Bears ended up scoring a touchdown. That was the only sequence in the game where they played the way you play when you believe in your defense. If that works, would it have worked if they had punted on fourth and four earlier in the game? Would it have worked if they had done it, especially the second time where they went for it on fourth and four? I think that's a mystery. And the answer was, hey, maybe so. Now, they gave up too many easy deep routes, no question about that. But I just wonder, had they done that, would we be having that conversation right now?
Well, I think next time they're in fourth and four or fourth and three, we're going to find out. Like, what are the odds that he goes for it the next time they're faced fourth and three, fourth and four?
Oh, they're high. He's going to go for it. That's who he is.
Exactly.
He can't help himself. And I already have our Friday morning 5 at 5 proposal, possibly. If they introduce the offense or if they introduce the defense, whose boo is louder, Andy Dalton's or Eddie Jackson's?
Wow.
I hope you guys understand we can't get into the details. I'm sorry in advance for any questions I can't answer, but I promise I'll do my best.
Did Dallas Keuchel do anything to change your mind about his presence on the playoff roster last night? Do you expect him to do so before that roster is selected, or are you going to avoid that decision as long as possible?
Dallas Keuchel, he may not be the most consistent White Sox starter, but he is the most scrutinized. We talked about his playoff roster status after every start, because I guess every start is sort of a referendum on his status and his likelihood or worthiness of being on that playoff roster. Last night he was better. I think that he kept him in the game. Six hits, two runs, three strikeouts. He did have five walks. That's kind of unusual. That was unexpected. I think that probably bothered him. He did get 10 ground ball outs. That's a good sign for Keuchel. So I think that he has two more starts to make the case even more convincing. He started the process last night. He looked a little bit better. He did keep them in the game. He didn't get shelled or rocked or whatever verb you want to use. So it was a good step for Dallas Keuchel. If they want to manufacture sort of optimism out of the starts where he gives up five runs, I can't imagine how happy they were last night when he only gave up a couple. So that was a good start for Dallas Keuchel.
I think there's a, you know, there's an elephant in the room with Dallas Keuchel that we need to address, and that is that he's getting paid, okay? They don't pay everyone on the South Side. He's getting paid, and he's going to get paid next year. So I think as much as we hate this idea, when it comes to selecting the playoff roster, you're also thinking about his status on the team. Ergo, do you ostracize a guy where he is mentally leaving you when you actually have him under a big number next year and he's going to be a starter for you? So I think it's an awful thing to say, but I think that has to come into play as you're considering his playoff roster status. I don't think he's a starter in the playoffs, but I think he's just going to be a guy that is going to be on the roster and going along with it, sort of a long reliever that comes in if things go absolutely haywire. I think he's going to be on the playoff roster because of his status with his salary, and I hate to say that, but I think that's a consideration, and I think he's fighting his way to prove that he belongs. And that was, they liked his outing the last time. It was useful. I know it was five runs, but he wasn't useless, and because he spread that hurt out. And yesterday was another example. I mean, the guy did okay for himself. He's a Cy Young winner. I think they're looking for reasons to keep him on the playoff roster, and he may have given him one.
He had five walks last night. He was very fortunate that the defense behind him played the way they did. And this lineup that the Angels trot out is not exactly murderer's
sure.
row.
Yeah.
Now,
wait. Are you complaining about Joe's lineups again?
Lineup Easting, huh? Are you lineup Easting again? Now, I did see him strike out Otani. I did
for all
see
the
that.
Lineup East is out there, right?
Thank you, studs. So if there was a stud left-handed hitter on a team that they were facing in the postseason, then maybe I would bring Dallas Keuchel in to face that one lefty. But guess what? The rules are you have to face three batters. And I would bet that he would walk one of those three batters while maybe striking out the one lefty. You can't give up free passes in the postseason. You cannot give up free passes in the postseason. I feel worse about him this morning than I did. Now, Mully,
wow.
I get where you're going with the money. I understand that, but
consideration.
It would be the only reason why he would be even thought of. You cannot. This is a great just baseball pitching question for Tommy Hotovy, I believe, at 8 o'clock. Like, you know, is your biggest fear giving up walks in any game, but especially in the postseason? If his answer is yes, I'm going along with it. Five walks last night? Great,
Dustin,
two runs, but
two
five
runs,
walks.
Two runs, and they brought him out for the sixth when you knew he was done after five, and that's one of the runs that happened in the sixth inning. I thought they pushed it with him, but he did great. He gave up one run in five innings, and then they
I agree.
Brought him
you
back.
Talk about pushing it, Mully, just really quick, another number, 98. 98.
Yep.
That was the pitch. Again, you don't throw a guy 98 pitches right now who you have high hopes to start a game in a postseason right now when you got a 936 game lead over the second place team in your division.
How big?
And that might have been the worst thing that happened. Losing that game, great. Your magic number is locked, but the Astros won. So you go from one game out to two games out of the
home
second
field.
Wild card spot.
Yep.
The number two playoff
home field
spot.
Yep.
Home field.
So that's a reason this is the best sports show in Chicago. Nobody else is asking that question, and it's actually a really good question.
After Brennan Davis homered twice in his AAA debut for Iowa, how fast is his track to the majors, and what are the pros and cons of Davis playing for the Cubs by the end of this season? After all the Cubs went through with Chris Bryant, do you think service time will play any role in their decision as to when to promote Davis, who very possibly could be the centerpiece of Jed Hoyer's next great Cubs team?
I know that this isn't a popular opinion, but Brennan Davis is just getting started in his career. He's just getting started in AAA. He has not had the number of games of at-bats that you would consider ideal for moving him up to the major league team. It should be about the player. It should be about when he's ready, how good is he, has he had enough seasoning. It shouldn't be about we've got a big vacuum on the major league roster. There's nobody to cheer for. Let's bring this guy up and excite the fans. So I think he just got to AAA. He's on the correct trajectory. And if you're going to move him up because you got nothing at the major league level, that's more about building a team than it is about building a player. So I'm for the player. I'm for player development. And I can't get on board with your fast track.
Well, I want the fast track.
I know you do.
I don't care about service time. If
you
I hear
care
service,
about the player. Just say
I care
it,
about the player. He's 22, and he has earned it. He has back-to-back. I mean, home runs. He has two home runs in his first AAA experience. That's great. That's a debut. That's making a statement. And I think, look, the Cubs, maybe it will be because he is the best player or they have no other options, but – you know, 22-year-old center fielder on opening day would not be rushing a guy necessarily. I mean, you look around baseball, and there are 21, 22-year-olds doing great things all
over
the league.
You want him up now, though. You want to bring him up now.
I wouldn't be against that. If they want to see a cameo in the final 2 weeks, I think you start to see what you've got. Look, the Cubs are, you know, they've used more players than any team in Major League Baseball. I think it's a tie, but they've used 63 players this year. That's a ton. And also, you know, this is unrelated to our topic, but it's kind of related to where the Cubs are. You know, the Cardinals, Dustin, have a one-game lead in the wild card spot. And when the Cubs surrendered after the close of business on Wednesday, July 7th, you know what the Cardinals were? The Cardinals were 43-45. You know what the Cubs were? They were 43-44. Okay, so this Cubs surrender that we have just witnessed and lived through and the great big sell-off at Wrigley Field, it came when the Cubs were right there with the Cardinals, and the Cardinals pivoted and they won 33-24 to put themselves 76-69. The Cubs didn't do that. So the Cubs chose a path. They're down this path, and going down this path, it means playing players maybe ahead of their schedule, and that means Brennan Davis.
Yeah, unfortunately, the rules have changed. You don't get the freebies in September anymore. But I would like to see him play three games up top, regardless of the rules. And that is next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 24th, 25th, 26th of September, against the Cardinals at Wrigley Field. Give him a taste of, hopefully, that atmosphere. The Cardinals will be going for it. The Cubs will be trying to play spoiler and give him a little taste of that.
All right, that is the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. Where are you at with all of it? You got any issues with what the Bears are saying? Are we looking at a vacuum of leadership here? Is that what the implication is? Do you agree that the defense is the most overrated defense in the NFL? Is this the most overrated Bears defense that you've seen in a while? Any Sox fans like Keuchel? You want him on your playoff roster? I'm guessing that poll doesn't go particularly well. And do you want Brennan Davis? To hell with development. Let's get this kid in the ballpark. Aaron, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.